Yud Aleph Nissan, Tav Shin Lamed, corresponding to 1970, a letter addressed to Bnei Ubnei Yisrael, to the sons and daughters of Israel. Hashel b'chol mokim u'mokim, who are in every place. Havaya aleihem yichyu. Shalom u'bracha. So after greeting everybody, the Rebbe begins to say, Hachagim shalonu, our festivals. Like everything about the Torah and her mitzvot, so the Yomim Tovim, the holidays, have overarching messaging, broad and inclusive concepts and theories, and it also goes into details. There's unique approaches and unique messages and unique lessons and unique ideas and ideals that's contained for every single Yom Tov. And Yomim Tovim have rich content, which oftentimes is unique to a particular Yom Tov. Now, when you take a look at the observances and the mitzvahs and the ideas and ideals of a Yom Tov, you're able to zero in on what is most relevant for this particular festival. And so, the Rebbe says, Kach gam kemuvan, so too, with regard to the Yom Tov called Pesach, but even more so. And the reason that it's even more so is because Pesach is also called Rosh L'Regalim, which means that if there is a global or annual or universal influence of a Yom Tov that comes in a particular form and in particular ideas and ideals, certainly it is so with regard to Pesach, which is said to be the head or the leader of all of the Yomim Tovim. And Chag Yetzias Mitzrayim, the festival of the Exodus, is ultimately Yom HaHiledes Shalom Yisrael. This is the day in which we commemorate and observe our national Jewish birthday. And with this preface, the Rebbe in this letter will not be talking about freedom. He will not be talking about faith, but rather he will be talking about the unique observances of Pesach and how they reflect our intergenerational covenant with the Almighty. HaChashivas HaMiyuchedes Shel HaPesach. The special prominence and importance of Pesach is Muchachas Gam Min HaUvda, can also be seen from the notion that the mitzvah of Pesach revolves around Shtei Mitzvah Saseh, two positive commandments in the Torah. We have 248 positive commandments in the Torah. There are two positive commandments in the Torah for which one who doesn't do them has a very negative consequence attached to it. And the consequence is called karis. So it's important for us to understand. When it comes to positive mitzvahs, it says we don't know. We don't know the virtue or value of a big mitzvah corresponding to a small mitzvah. Like it says, Ein ata yadein scholen shal mitzvahs, the Mishnah says. We don't know. No. Which mitzvah is bigger, which mitzvah is smaller. And the Mishnah tells us, have izahir, we should be exceedingly careful, which also is related to the idea that our souls can be radiated or irradiated through the notion that we keep and are concerned and are dealing with small mitzvahs just like big mitzvahs. So the Bar Tanura and many of the other Rishonim say, big mitzvahs, small mitzvahs, that whole discussion is with regard to positive mitzvahs. But negative mitzvahs, we know which are the biggies. How do you know what's bigger or smaller? Because there are consequences. There are consequences. So it's like if you do this, then the law says you get this fine. If you do that, then you get the other fine. So you could know if it's, is it worse to speak on your cell phone or worse to drive without a seatbelt? Well, let's see what you get a bigger fine for. Usually the fines will correspond to the severity of the infraction. And when it comes to something like driving, probably that's related to the volume of accidents, chas v'shalom, or negative things which have unfolded as a result of people not keeping this law versus the other law. So obviously this law endangers more people. And because the law is responsible for safety and security, and because this is deemed to be an act which is of endangerment, so that's why it'll have a stiffer fine or a smaller fine. So when we have negative mitzvahs, we know which is a bigger infraction or a smaller infraction by virtue of consequence, punishment. How about reward? Ein ata yedei ascharon. We don't know the value. Hashem didn't promise us the rewards. We know that's one of our principles of faith, that nothing happens without a reward. And Hashem values and appreciates every ounce of loyalty, of love, of devotion, of dedication, of commitment, of conviction. Everything that we expend in our Yiddishkeit is valued and appreciated. Nothing is taken for granted. Having said that, what exactly is more or less valuable? Truth be told, we don't know, because there's no consequences. There are only two mitzvahs for which there is a particular negative consequence attached for the one who doesn't fulfill them. Not for a sin of commission, if you do X, Y, and Z, that's when you get this punishment, but for a sin of omission, if you miss this positive mitzvah, then this is the consequence. So for example, it's a very important thing for Jewish males to put on tefillin. It's really, really important. And what happens if a person doesn't put on tefillin? It's not good. It's not good. What happens if a person, God forbid, never puts on tefillin? It's really not good. Where does it say that? Well, the Gemara actually talks about it. But in the scripture, it says, you got to do this. You got to bind that sign. You have to attach that front line. But it doesn't say if you don't do this or ever that such and such is a punishment. But there are two mitzvahs in the Torah, only two, for which there is a very severe consequence attached. And that consequence is known as kares, which simply translated means a premature passing, and it also means trouble in the world to come, that your soul is chas v'shalom disconnected from its source. So what are these two mitzvahs? The shtei mitzvahs are mila and korban pesach, the mitzvah of the circumcision, the covenant of the brit mila, and of the korban pesach. Shtei elu, these two. Gam kshudas ma'id b'neim atzmam. So you say, well, what's the connection between the brit mila and between the korban pesach? One is on a person, and one is with regard to using an animal for a particular purpose. There is a connection, and the Rebbe proves it. Shekein, the Torah tells us, Misha eni nimel, a person who is uncircumcised, chas v'shalom, a person who doesn't have a brit milah, eino yochoy lahakrev es korban ha-pesach. You can't bring a korban pesach. So when you show up at your korban pesach, they don't say, excuse me, what were you doing last Shabbos? And they say, what is this, an interrogation? Well, we need to know. If you're not a Shomer Shabbat, we can't allow you into the Beis HaMikdash. No such thing. Person says, please don't embarrass me. Don't ask me what I was doing last Shabbos. That's not your business. I'm a Jew. I'm here to bring a Korban Pesach today. You're a Kohen. Please help me fulfill my responsibility. No problem. However, if we find that the person does not have a Brit Milah, we're not allowed to accept this Korban Pesach. This actually proscribes participation in the Paschal offering. And Ibn Ashtayim, Chomer Yeser HaPesach. Amongst the two, believe it or not, the participation in the Paschal offering is even more severe than the concept of the covenant of circumcision. The Chomer of Bineihim is Pesach even more so than Milah. Because with regard to Brit Milah, if somebody doesn't Chas V'Shalom have a Brit Milah, okay, so you can still make up for that. You can still deal with it. Kayemes Achay V'Lim Gam La'achar Azman. Korban Pesach came, a person was proscribed, he couldn't participate, he did a bris milah later. Okay, fine. But ilu as Korban Pesach, if you do the Korban Pesach time comes, and you missed out, because it's not possible to bring a Korban Pesach ach v'rak b'moy adai, only in its appointed time, and not afterwards. So, b'frat mesuyim, in another detail, the Rebbe points out, Shoyne Korban Pesach legamri mikol mitzvos. The Korban Pesach is in and of itself different than all the mitzvos, and it's even different than all the korbanot, all the temple offerings. And that is, v'hu bezeh shalei rak ha'av tzarech li yismol. Not only, let's say, the head of the household has to be circumcised, has to have a bris milah. Ela shegam bonav chayavim li yismolim. His children have to have a bris milah. V'im yesh lei ben shalei nimol. And if a father has a child who doesn't have a bris milah, shalei huchnes bevris olam, he was not brought into the eternal covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only that child cannot participate, ein ha'av yachal lahavi es korban pesach. The father can't bring a korban pesach because it's his responsibility to make sure that his child gets circumcised. And if the child isn't circumcised, doesn't have a bris milah, the father is barred from participation in korban pesach. So this is a big deal. And there's a special connection between the two mitzvahs. This is despite the fact that offerings in general, including the Korban Pesach, Shayach, Rak, Lizman, Baikayim, Beis HaMikdash, are only connected to and limited within the frame of time in which we had the privilege of having a Beit HaMikdash. And of course, we believe the Yehudash Rakasha Beis Hamikdash Yibana. It will be brought back when the Beis Hamikdash is restored to us once again through Mashiach. However, so you're going to say, what are we talking about this for? Here we are, we're Pesach, we're in Galut. Mashiach will come, call me, collect. We'll deal with it then. Why are we talking about, right? Like, it's not relevant now. The Rebbe says that's a mistake to make. We know shekol inyanei haTorah, that everything which is Torah oriented is nitzchis, is eternal. Eternal doesn't mean it was once meaningful, and it's eternal because it will again someday be meaningful. If it can only be meaningful in the past and will only someday in the distant or near future again become meaningful, it's not eternal. Eternal means always. Eternal means it was, it is, and it will forever be. So if we have something which is nitzchi, which is eternal, so then mechilim bekravam hayras behiris, there has to be contained within the bringing of these offerings illuminated lessons. And maisius, there has to be some kind of guidance bechayim hayom yomim, in our daily life today. Not just what was, or even what will be. It has to be b'chol hazmanim. Eternity is applicable in all times. Eternity is applicable in every place. There cannot be geographic differences, and there cannot be time differences. But what if I can't bring the Korban Pesach, because geographically I'm not in Yerushalayim? And you can't bring the Korban Pesach. You may even be exempt from being a Korban Pesach. But the ideas of the Korban Pesach, the ideals of the Korban Pesach are still relevant for you, even if you're in a distant land. And so it is also, if we're not living in a time where the Beis HaMikdash is here and we can bring in the Paschal offering, we still nonetheless have a sacred duty to talk about this and to download its lessons and to learn to appreciate the messages that it brings us in our life. So let's talk about Korban Pesach. Chag HaPesach, this whole festival called Pesach, Nikras Kach Hashem Korban Pesach. It gets its name from the offering. Passover, from the Passover offering. And that's Madgish Es HaChashivos HaNailis Shel Chinuch Yalde Yisrael. This places emphasis on the great importance in the notion of education, and specifically the education of our progeny, of our children and theirs. Be'etzem, Hare Echad Mikavi HaYisayt Shel Seder Pesach Hu Chinuch HaYiladim. Really and truly, one of the foundational points of the Seder, in the essence of the Seder, is the concept of education, passing it on to our children. Chinuchei shall call yelad, v'chinuchan shall call yeladim. The education of every individual child, and the education of all the children. Kifi shadavar mizbata, as this gets expressed in the Haggadah, that in the Haggadah, the instructions written in virtually all Haggadahs, say, Kan HaBen Shoyl. Okay, at this point, the children start asking. We don't believe the children should be seen and not heard. We tell the children, speak up now. You're supposed to say something now. And in case the child isn't that intuitive, we'll tell him what to say before. He'll rehearse his lines. And then the time comes and the child knows he's got to recite his lines now. And we know that the Torah says it's keneged arba banim. It's not just a child. You take one child, you'll choose the finest and best child who can articulate himself, who actually gives a hoot and cares and wants to be involved and feels honored by being called upon to participate. No, keneged arba banim. Torah speaks corresponding to all kinds of children. And that's the mitzvah, v'higadat talavincha. You should tell your child. So the first one is, we talk about tell your child about the Korban Pesach because he said, what is up with you? And that's the Korban HaRasha. And the next, in the Torah, the next commandment comes along, V'higadita. Go ahead and tell the child. But he didn't ask yet. You know, some children won't ask. They don't know how to ask. You have to talk to those kids too. Beram, however, Inyan Korban Pesach, Madgish B'mida B'letas. The idea of the Korban Pesach, besides the Haggadah and the Seder, and the idea of Pesach is about passing on our eternal legacy and our story and our history and our connection with Hashem to generations. But besides this, it's the Korban Pesach specifically that emphasizes in a very obvious way ad kama negeha chinuch hayehudi shel hayeladim, how much of an importance Jewish education plays in our lives. And lo rak liyeladim atzvam, not only for the children, but rather kim gam lehoirim, also to parents. Ima hoirim lemilu eschevasam liyeladam, if the parents did not do their duty, they didn't bring their child into the covenant, they didn't give him a bris milah. If they didn't give him a bris milah, so then in that case, if they didn't bring him, they did not bring that child into an eternal covenant with God. That this makes a difference, should be actually felt, seen, and sealed, not only in the soul, also in the bodily sense, as the expression of the Torah, my covenant will be upon your flesh. It's not just a spiritual thing. It goes down to the physical, material reality. Not only do they distance heaven from fend, as yiladam, their own children, from that eternal covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only do they truncate their children from the many blessings that could and should come their way, but furthermore, we see, uniquely, parents didn't do their job, you didn't bring the child into the covenant, you don't get to participate in Karban Pesach. Sorry. But I have a bris milah, that's nice, but the children don't, and that's your responsibility, you can't participate either. That's the message of the Korban Pesach. And all the things that are linked and connected to the Korban Pesach. And especially the idea of an inner awakening and a stirring of spirit, where we say, Pesach ul Hashem. This was a Pesach for Hashem. Uposachti aleichem. That God had mercy and compassion, that He skipped over us, so to speak, even though He came with judgment. It's Rachme HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleichem. The mercies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the compassion of God that can and should be upon us by virtue of the Korban Pesach, of the Paschal offering, even if things aren't the way they should be in the world, it seems to us, even if there's a lot of negativity, God will say, I pass over you in compassion. And this could be true both materially and spiritually. If your children aren't the way they should be, if you didn't discharge your responsibility towards them, then this privilege will pass right over you. When the Jewish people were in the land of Egypt, on the eve of the Exodus, Mona Korban Pesach es Hamashkes. It was the Korban Pesach which served to shield them from the destructive forces unleashed. It didn't allow the destruction, Lehikones, Labayis al Yehudi, to enter into the Hebrew homes. And that's because they were there with their Korban. And so, this was all about what? Shielding and protecting the firstborns. And therefore, Kashi Yehudim Bechol Mokim, Shruim Begolos, when we are found dispersed and distributed around the world exilically. A golos, which is quite literal, it's begashmias, but perhaps equally or even more important, a golos beruchnias, my friends, a spiritual displacement and a disablement. So some of the parents, they just leave behind the Korban Pesach. They leave behind what the Korban Pesach represents. What does the Korban Pesach represent? What does the Korban Pesach ask of us? The first thing it asks of us is Mishchu Ukhulachem. From the 10th day of Nisan onward, the commandment came to the Jewish people, Mishchu Ukhu. Mishchu meant literally go and take. Khu means if you don't have from your flocks, can draw from your flocks, then go and purchase. But in a deeper sense, our sages tell us that Mishchu Ukhu, which means literally to draw forth and then to take, meant Mishchu Yedecha Me'avedah Zarah. It meant let go of these strange and alien ideologies which sometimes a Jewish person adopts as being part of his faith, Rachmana Litzlan. We bring foreign ideas and we insert them with faith and we revere them with a kind of devotion, a blind devotion, which is about faith. So Hashem says to us, no, that's not what you're about. You can do all kinds of things, but that's not what your faith is about. That's not where you invest your soul. Your soul has to be invested in Yiddishkeit. So sometimes, unfortunately, people aren't ready to do that. They're not ready to let go of their ideologies, which are profoundly un-Torah and ungodly and un-Jewish. And we say, Hidabku b'mitzvahs. You then have to not only let go of foreign ideologies, but you have to hold fast to the ideologies that are indigenous to the real, to the Jewish people, the Torah ideologies. And the Hamashchis Meitzedelas Psucha, unfortunately, we have in our time, tragically, people who not only do not embrace Yiddishkeit or first let go of foreign ideologies, but they leave the door wide open. Wide open to assimilation, to to chas v'shalom, all the things that could actually harm the children. And these forces actually don't draw a distinction between firstborns or secondborns or lastborns. It makes no difference. This is, we're talking about a plague, literally instead of a Passover of the Hebrew homes, we have a plague that's being allowed into the Jewish homes, which tragically has spread itself into many, many, many Jewish environs. And this is as a result of, whose fault is it? The parents play the role. The parents didn't close the door. The parents didn't shield the children. Shechelik min ahoidim, because many of the parents, limashcho adayin va'atzmam, they themselves have not go of foreign ideologies. They themselves have not embraced Torah truisms. And because that's the case, v'chelik l'me'ele shemekayimim, and even some of those who on a personal level are trying to fulfill the mishcho u'kchu, they have silku avol me'atzma mesa'il v'achrayes lidig shiladei mischanchu. They have slipped out of the responsibility towards children. I do this. I don't try to tell my children what to do. They can do whatever they want. I do what I want. They do what they want. We all live our own lives. We have a generation gap. Don't try to force anybody to do anything. And they want to have no responsibility for that. To bring children into a way of Torah, to inspire children with the ways of Yiddishkeit. No interest in doing any of that. The Rebbe says, unfortunately, you don't have to look very far to find this attitude. It's right down the block. It's everywhere. This is commonplace, unfortunately. Children who are abandoned, spiritually speaking, and parents who themselves have abandoned their Yiddishkeit. Okay, this is a sobering and unfortunate reality. But the Rebbe says, Chag HaPesach, and especially the day of the Korban Pesach, reminds us with tremendous emphasis that if a Yid only wants that they should experience the blessings of the Korban Pesach, the idea of Pesachti Aleichem, that you want to experience freedom from these things which inhibit and shackle and disable the neshama from functioning, you want to have what's called Cheiros V'Hishtachros, V'dvorim Bilti Ritzuyim Amazikim, you want to be freed of harmful influences, whether they are Pnimiyim, whether they are sometimes a part of our lives already, having eaten their way into the core of our being, or chas v'shalom, they rage right outside the home. When in the streets, we have, so to speak, a plague that's literally out there. And even in educational institutions, instead of the educational institution being dedicated to promulgating Torah values, it's promulgating foreign ideologies and values and not defending the future of the Jewish people. So if only we could seize the moment of Pesach. Hear its illuminating message. It's never too late. A Yid has to simply reach for Korban Pesach and bring Korban Pesach energy into his and her life. And as long as we will do that, as long as we proverbially set the Seder table and we make the decision that this year will be different and that this year we will celebrate Pesach, and this year we will bring the spirit of Passover into our lives and for our families and for our children and for others, so then the Rebbe says, then this will certainly accelerate the process of universal redemption and bring us the coming of Mashiach. V'mheira u'b'yameinu amen.